Today, as you all know, is the second Sunday of Lent. And we've just heard that wondrous account of the transfiguration of our Lord in the presence of three of the disciples. For us, this Sunday of Lent is a little bit of a pause on our journey through Lent. Just as Jesus, taking the three disciples up the mountain, was a pause for them on their journey to Jerusalem and to their experience of the death, the passion, and the death of our Lord. Mount Pleasant isn't exactly a high mountain, but we're gathered, and we're gathered to reflect on this moment of transfiguration and to see how it forms and shapes us too. Peter said to Jesus, "It is wonderful for us to be here." And I think that's true of us this afternoon. It is a wonderful moment, and I'd like to thank you again for coming from so many different places I know. I'd like to thank my brother John for being here. He wasn't able to come to Rome or London, so this is a very important moment for him and I as a family. The days in Rome for me were both humbling and marvellous. Some of you might have caught a glimpse of the consistory and the Mass with Pope Francis on the Sunday, but they were wonderful moments, delightful moments. Never before, and only slowly do you learn about being a cardinal, never before have Swiss guards clicked their heels and saluted every time I went past. Never before could I wander just wherever I wanted across St. Peter's. Nobody stopped me, everybody smiled. I thought, oh, now this is something. But it had a serious side too, because to stand in that College of Cardinals with Pope Francis around the tomb of St. Peter was a real experience of the depth of our faith, the depth in history and the breadth of it around the world. So we reaffirmed and strengthened our faith around the tomb of St. Peter. Then the next day, I was able to go to the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls. And there we celebrated Mass at the tomb of St. Paul, the great missionary apostle, the one burning with fervor to spread this news of Jesus whom he had met in such a dramatic way. And then on the third day, I and those with me celebrated Mass in the English College in Rome, over the relics of the martyrs, the martyr priests who came to this country to serve this community, knowing that their ministry might last a few months or a few years before, in all likelihood, they would be arrested and executed. So we marked these moments at the tomb of St. Peter, at the tomb of St. Paul, and with the relics of the English martyrs. And that summed up for me this call to be a cardinal. As Pope Francis says, it's a call to serve. It's a call to broader horizons and a larger heart. And I hope if that is the invitation before me, it can also be the invitation before every one of us here today. So it is wonderful for us to be here. In the Transfiguration, Jesus was accompanied by Moses and Elijah, the two great figures of the Jewish faith. In them, the past was being caught up into the moment. The past with all its riches, all its history of grace. And so it is for us this afternoon. I think it is a moment for memories, a moment for events that we've shared, a moment to remember some struggles and achievements. And my mind goes quickly through different places where I served in this diocese with great joy. I think of Skelmersdale. I think of Wigan, of St. John Rigby Sixth Form College. I think of St. Dan's down the road in Toxteth. I think of the years I spent here in this cathedral. I think of Manchester and my time at the university there. And I know people have come from many different places to be here this afternoon. And again, I thank you. Moses, as one of those figures catching up the past, he had an experience of the presence of God on Mount Sinai. And we read there that he came down from that mountain with the commandments, with a shining face, full, as it were, of the presence of God. But we also know of his troubles in Egypt and the long and lonely journey that consisted the most part of his life. So as we think of our journey this far, we can see it in a similar light. Yes, we know the presence of God. And yes, we struggle and we journey on. And think of Elijah, the prophet, the one who encountered God also on a mountain, on Mount Horeb, and expressed his encounter with God in the phrase, "It was the still, small voice that spoke to him." Not the earthquake, not the thunder, not the movement of rocks, but the still, small voice. That's how we live, each day trying to sense a quiet voice of God coming to us each day, helping us to walk in his light. Now, central to the experience of the Transfiguration was the coming of that great cloud. The cloud always representing the mysterious, awesome glory of God. And that glory of God, we heard, was seen now in the glory of Christ. And we know, when we think of this passage, when we hear it again, when we let it enter into our hearts, that through our baptism, through our allegiance to Christ, the glory that we see in him, is the glory that he wants to share with us. And so, as well as being a moment in which the past is caught up, this moment of the Transfiguration is a moment about the future as well. It's about what lies ahead of each one of us. The disciples, we know, walked in the light of that experience of the Transfiguration through all the agony and the confusion and the disappointment and the heartbreak of seeing their master arrested and tortured and crucified and buried in a tomb. But in the light of that moment, they had a promise of what was to come in his resurrection from the dead. And that's the same promise that we embrace again this afternoon. So this moment of Transfiguration, the moment in which we rejoice, the moment in which it's wonderful to be here, is truly revealing of the God-given goodness of our past with all its mistakes. And it's truly revealing of the rich promise of eternal life, which is our future. And so indeed, it is good for us to be here. Then, the moment of the Transfiguration moves on, and we hear another short phrase that I hope we can take home in our hearts this afternoon. The voice of the Father pointing to his beloved Son, saying, "Listen to him. Listen to him." The voice of the Father directing, urging us to see and reach out for the source of the goodness that we sense. When we pay attention to the Lord, we can recognize ourselves afresh in our deepest identity. Who am I? I am a disciple of Jesus. That is my deepest identity. And so each day, each morning, we do well to remember the words that each day I awake with a disciple's ear, ready, attentive to what the Lord wants to say. And if that's my deepest identity, yours I trust too, to be a disciple of Jesus, then I am to be a missionary disciple, one who is truly committed to wanting to draw others into his pathway, into his way of entering the kingdom of heaven for which we have been created. When we pay attention to the Lord, when we listen to him, we are tutored, we are taught day by day a way of walking with each other, a way of seeing each other, a way of acting towards each other, all within our shared relationship with him, all towards a horizon of great beauty, and all within the community of the church, celebrating this banquet of the Lord's mercy and compassion and love. So it is indeed good for us to be here, to listen to him at this Mass this afternoon. Indeed, we could say that this Mass and every Mass is a moment of transfiguration. It's a moment when, with the eyes of faith, we can see the Lord of glory. When his body and blood is held before us, with the eyes of faith, we see that he is wonderfully present to each one of us, encouraging us, urging us to continue our journey. And he's saying, as he said to the three disciples at the end of this moment, "Do not be afraid." Yes, our journey will be full of surprises. It'll be full of testing moments. It'll all be set in the context of the joy of the Lord. But he says, "It is good to be here. Listen to me. Do not be afraid." And then we continue our journey in prayer for each other from this day on. Amen.